Welcome to Futures in Languages, a podcast showcasing stories from UCF's Modern Languages and Literatures Department. I'm your host, Christina Torres, and today we'll be talking with Maria Grazia Spina, who is a senior instructor in Italian in the Modern Languages Department. Thank you so much for joining us today, Grazia.
Thank you for the opportunity to be able to showcase what we do in modern languages and more to come, in a sense, because I have a lot of students who start with one language and then they continue with other languages because they become so passionate. And so this is also one of our goals, to connect more and more languages and cultures with students.
I know we have a lot to cover in your episode, so let's go ahead and maybe start with a general question. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and maybe where you're from?
Yes. I am Italian, and I've been teaching at UCF since 2002, and I came from a different scenario. So I was working for Boeing and NASA at the space program. Yes, it was so nice and diversified, and the reason why they hired me was because of the languages. Because they were doing programs in Torino, actually in Turin, and so they needed an interpreter, someone to interpret not only the language, but especially the culture. Mm-hmm. Because some of my colleagues in the space industry had no idea about how to handle the cultural part, because of course, for the linguistic part, it was me. I was an interpreter. But to interpret also the signs of culture, mm-hmm. You know, that was a nice, it was a nice success at the end of the 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that there are some levels of things that we can and can't talk about when you work in those industries, but I'm just so curious, working for Boeing and working with what I'm assuming are engineers and aerospace folks, do you have a memorable story that stands out? Maybe a moment when you were like, oh, I'm really glad that I'm here to be this interpreter, this cultural liaison.
Yes. Oh, yes. The cultural liaison, I would say that's the password for this. Yes, I've been many times to Torino with our engineers, and I was really interpreting their needs. Memorable moments, there have been a lot, starting from some of my colleagues chewing tobacco, for example. That for Italians, you were like, what is this? So I had to really interpret a lot of things. And a lot of other moments where they were really as engineers, so, you know, so technically minded, they really had to adjust to how to behave in an environment that was a city-like, certainly not like here in Florida, and how they were all these engineers, but yet at the same time, they were like kids in a sense, because it was really daunting for some things. And so they were, they were attached to my hip in a sense, mm-hmm. because they were asking me, how you do you, what do you see in that window? What does that mean? Window shopping, what is this? And how many differences there were, mm-hmm. and visual differences that I really were not accustomed to. Mm-hmm.
I think what you're describing is anytime we leave our home country, anytime we work or we live elsewhere, and somewhat when we do tourism things, but definitely when we live somewhere, it's different. We take for granted a lot of things that we consider quote unquote normal or quote unquote typical, because again, and you can speak to this, obviously you have so much experience, but from the things that I've noticed again, and we've talked about on this podcast, is that culture is one of those things where there's surface culture and then there's deeper culture, and surface culture like food and you know, that kind of thing. Okay, you can see it, but the deeper stuff is what takes longer to understand and to adapt and to truly empathize with. And it's funny how you can look at someone and you can use the language, but if it, like, the cultural part is deeper and you can't really see it on the surface, and that's what takes time to understand. I see you nodding. If you want to add to it, feel free.
Yes, yes, it's very true. Yeah, all these different emotional cultures, subcultures in everybody's subconscious while you're doing these activities, you know, with the engineers. And then, of course, you know, for me, linguistically speaking, it was difficult to understand their language, their technical language, and all the drawings and how. So I had to really be prepared for that. And a lot of times, my supervisor, he would say, well, "What am I doing? Okay, what did they do?" So he was always questioning the culture, because it was a little unsure. Mm-hmm. And that's where since I am a go-getter for as far as, you know, I like people and all of that, and I've been exposed to many cultures, because in my previous life, before coming to the USA, I've been traveling all over the world. I did two world tours, so I was already familiar with a lot of cultures and how different people react to different prompts, let's say. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this experience that I had with the engineers in Italy was very eye-opening for them and also for me, because I was trying to really relate to them in a nice way, of course, and vice versa. But yet at the same time, I felt how some of them they were naive in a sense. Mm-hmm. They had to be led towards the city. So
when it comes to culture, we do need some instruction, right? If it's not our original culture, or cultures, plural, because some of us are bi and tricultural, right? But the idea of learning culture that is unfamiliar requires just that learning, right? You need to have those conversations so that we can move forward in a way that works for everybody. And that requires adjustment on all parts, right? To meet in the middle.
Yeah, I say that also. It's even if you give the instructions, even, you know, when I do my study abroad, for example, you know, I can write, I do it all the time. But one thing is to say, you know, pay attention that, I don't know, the electricity is, you know, different in Italy than in the US. You can give those information, that kind of information. But then when you are on the spot, when you are in the place, in the field, I would say, then boom, everything goes blank and they learn. It's another way to learn. Mm-hmm. So no matter how many instructions you can give for other cultures, they have to experience it themselves.
Yeah, experience, as they say, is the best teacher, right? So thank you for sharing that. And now I know that the resident engineering expert in the modern languages department is you. Speaking of the modern languages department, how did you come to find the UCF modern languages department?
Oh, yeah, that happened when after 11 happened. Then I could not work for NASA anymore, because the level of security, you know, I didn't have the higher level of security, and so I had to be escorted every place, even to go to a restroom, for example, just to give you an example. So at that point, I said to myself, I cannot do this anymore. For as much as I love, of course, my job, I love meeting the astronauts. They were launching actually at that time. Yeah, they were launching every month, basically.
Wow, so, yeah.
was very exciting.
Out of curiosity, which shuttle program was that? Was it Atlantis?
More than one. Okay. Now I have to look it up.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, they were launching different ones actually, with crews. So that was it was going very well, very active, and then all of a sudden everything stopped for a while, and then that's when I said to myself, no, I need to redirect my job description, because I felt I needed to, you know, get out of that situation, and not. I mean, I would have stayed there, of course, and it was very interesting. And I met a lot of interesting people that are still there, working there. Mm. Yeah. And so I went back to traveling for tourism. Mm. And so I accompanied some groups, and I was also tour manager for one of the industries here in Orlando, and that I liked, because I've always paired travel with my knowledge of languages, so that it really goes very well. And then after that, one of the professors, Dr. Cerone, it was before your time, so he knew a friend of mine, and so he really said, why don't you come to UCF, try it, and teach Italian? The aha moments. I said, wow, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I had my, my qualification, from the University of Genova, and my university. So I was all fully certified to teach Italian, English, German, and so that's how I started, and I loved it ever since. Yes, it's been a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful, but not only wonderful, it's been very forming. It has formed me, and then ever since then, it's been my home.
Yeah, it sounds like teaching found you a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, yes, mm-hmm. You're right, mm-hmm. Yes.
You teach now in the Italian program, but I know from our conversations that you also have taught German and French, and obviously you are a multilingual person. My next question is, what classes would you like our listeners to know about?
Okay, yeah, I have loved all the languages that I've been teaching, and together with the languages, also the fact of going abroad and experiencing this and leading the study abroad, because I have led over the years programs in Italy, France, Austria, and in Germany. So I think I am the most senior person that has taught all those three languages in the field, and I have formed so many students who have been touched by this experience. Some of them live in Germany, some of them have got married and they live somewhere else also. So really, study abroad really changes your life, mm-hmm. always for the better. Mm-hmm. Even though some students at the beginning, you have the cultural shock.
Yeah, culture shock is real.
That's what it has to be, right? Mm-hmm. But then, years after years, then it resonates with you, and so students, it's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. And so I say that leading the study abroad programs for me has been one of the most rewarding experiences that I've had, and the two goes together. Mm-hmm. I cannot teach and not take my students abroad. Mm-hmm. It's an experience that changes, of course, because our generations are changing, our students are changing constantly from year to year, I would say. But the common ground is the aha moments for them. The first time that they see the Duomo of Brunelleschi in Florence, they really... they have that standout syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, like this, you know, those are the moments that really define what going abroad is.
Sure. And there's so much that we can read about, and there's so much that we can watch educational programming on here, but there's nothing quite like standing in front of something historical that you have read about and saying, yeah, wow, this is real, I can touch it, I'm in the place.
And yes, right, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then going back to the other languages, so I started with Italian, and then after that, since I knew French very well, then French is my passion, has always been my passion. And my brother has lived in France for the longest time.
Mm.
So French is really one of the languages that I adore. And so I've taught that, and again, always been a passion. And I still have everything, all my notes, because they are, you know, precious to me. And then after that, I was drifted to German, because there was a need for German. Okay, so depending on what was the situation, and the Department of Modern Languages could direct me to whichever mm-hmm. language was necessary at the time. Mm-hmm. So that's why I've had the great honor of being able to teach all those languages those years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine it feels very special to be able to be selected wherever you're needed in the department. Yes. To be able to assist students no matter what within three of the languages that we teach. That would be really cool. I admire that a lot.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I'm teaching also only once a year Italian for Spanish speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very nice, because mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have it in my curriculum, but I'm good in Spanish also. I studied at the university only 2 years, so not enough to have any specialization. But I, you know, it's a language that I love, a culture that I love, and mm-hmm. especially, you know, this particular course is fantastic, because you see from a linguistic and cultural standpoint, if you are Venezuelan versus Mexican, or, you know, the linguistic part, that's different also mm-hmm. for them. So it's really a unique experience through Italian, which for them, of course, is easier than other languages.
Mm. Well, I'll keep that in mind. If I ever want to begin studying Italian for Spanish speakers, I will ask you some questions there on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
You mentioned study abroad and leading student experiences. It sounds like those were some really memorable moments in your career. Are there any stories that you want to share with our listeners, maybe one or two, of just a really impactful moment with students while you had them in study abroad programs?
I would say all of them, because every program had all these different personalities and interactions, so I could really not pinpoint something particular, because every study abroad is different, but yet is the same. So it is that experience, and very practical. For example, depending, of course, on the school, but we went for La Sorbonne, of course, in France, in Paris, is one of the most acknowledged universities. So we had, I would say, for La Sorbonne, we had a professor. It was unbelievable. And he would teach us on the street, per se, like a field learning. And we would go with them every place. And that was really fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the same thing we're doing now for Florence. I have decided to stand back from teaching Italian in the classroom, but we're going out. So this has been the second year in which I've taken mm-hmm. students to the gelato places. I've taken them to, you know, experience the city, basically, which, mm-hmm. you know, and then you can teach through the city, though, mm-hmm. and that's really something that resonates with you.
Yeah, I imagine that. So for our listeners who are considering doing study abroad, if this is the kind of experience that you want to have, you know that you can reach out to Grazia Spina and she can recommend programs and or take you on one of her study abroad programs, which are offered, I understand, fairly regularly. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. We teach it every year, and it's 3 weeks. It used to be 6 weeks, now it's 3 weeks because of time constraints, and students, of course, cannot afford to stay, you know, six weeks. And but yes, definitely, it's an ongoing program, very successful. The professors are fantastic. And it's an incredible experience. And I'm thinking about something that just came to my mail. Well, this morning was my other student. But the other day, one of my students that came to Florence, she asked me if I knew of a place where her and her future husband, she went to study abroad in Florence, and so she asked me if her and her future husband can get married in Florence, near to the cathedral, to follow the Brunelleschi. That's one of those moments, again, that you say to yourself, wow, you know, this student has been to the study abroad and has been to Florence, and Florence is so embedded in her experience that she wants to propose and be in Florence for this moment. And this has happened quite often, also in Paris, for example, during the study abroad in Paris, since also Paris is such a romantic city. I've had some students who proposed at the Eiffel Tower. So we're back at all.
That must be so exciting to be there to witness a special moment for your students. And I think it speaks also to the community that forms whenever you go on a study abroad program. It's not just about an individual. It's about the group forming their own little community. And as that community explores the larger community, bringing that information back as well.
Yes. Very true. And sometimes also the families, you know, come with them. So that's very nice to see the interaction of the family that is involved in their kids' education in a foreign country. And it's very important too.
That sounds so lovely. Yeah. We have also here, Grazia, a segment that we like to call Ask Our Faculty. So, we have questions from our correspondent, Miley. Are you ready for Miley's question?
Okay.
Let me open up Miley's question.
How can students reach out to you for a project or to request additional mentorship?
Okay, for my case, it's very easy, but because I'm always on my computer, I'm always connected with my students, even Sunday and Saturday, whenever they have a question. Yeah, or a project or an idea, they always, you know, come to me. And I'm very open for any project. For example, there is one student, she's studying journalism right now, and she reached out about study abroad, about, you know, what her career will be. And she studied also in Florence. So she, you know, projects like that are fantastic because it's the student that really has the idea of, after having seen one of my lectures, for example. You know, in my lectures, I always comment on different things that are different, like, you know, the abysses of the sea, of the Mediterranean Sea. So this was one, for example, where in my region, the Liguria, you can go underneath the Mount of Portofino, and the bubbles stay there, and then they take the bottles from underneath the sea, comes to surface, and this is something unique, for example.
So out of curiosity then, to make sure I understand, so you can dive in, and there are air bubbles under the water, captured. So does that mean that you can go under and then breathe air from the air bubbles and then come back out?
In a sense, yes. In a sense, yes. The bubbles stay for a year under the water, and then when they come out, they resurface. Yes, that's how it is.
So you
and these bottles are, they have remains like of you know, some fishes or the star, you know, some, it's really unique. And these are the things that I propose to my students. Mm-hmm. Going back to the cultural things that I do, I always find some niches of information that I propose to them, to my students, where they have never seen it in a textbook, or they just, it's just my experience of being always in Italy. I go there twice a year for an extended period of time. And so I look for something unique that my students will remember. And it is Italy. It is, it's not anything that I make up. These are real events.
Yeah. I imagine that being able to take students from here to Italy allows you to see Italy through different eyes.
Yes.
It's almost like you're seeing it again for the first time. And I imagine that must be a really lovely way to re-experience a home country.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And also within the same country. I mean, it could be France. It could be, let's say, Italy, okay? When I go to Italy, I always go with a different pair of eyes for this reason, because I'm always looking at eyes, scooping around if there is anything that can spark my students' interest, and I try to do it. For example, there is a fountain of wine, a wine fountain.
Okay.
Yes, and I mean, it's something that you would not know, and you would not, you know, see it in a textbook, but that's what it is. So
Is it a wine fountain where you bring a glass and you can take?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. There you go. That's exciting. Yeah.
I was thinking like that. I'm saying there are so many different colors to your experience. You can be, you know, a boxed in traveler, or you can be a traveler that's always on the radar looking for things.
Yeah.
Isn't that unique?
It's nice that you're able to share that lens with your students.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're coming up here on our last question here, Grazia. And the question is, what advice would you offer someone who is interested in studying Italian or German or French or really any other language? What is your advice?
My advice is to open the windows to the world, to each, for each person. And never be afraid to think about possibly exploring, because it's always a win situation. And to do it, absolutely do it whenever you can, especially for students who will maybe entertain other careers. The sooner they go abroad, the better it is, because then their awareness will be totally different. And also for their especially for the future, and maybe this future can entail taking languages, because you know, there are a lot of companies that are, you know, from Europe, for example, and so they may have an opportunity to experience even for 1 year. So I always say that traveling is the best life experience that someone can have. All accounts.
I agree with you on the educational power of travel. And what a great story you've illustrated too, that your career began in something completely different, and you were working in language with engineers. So for our listeners out there who are thinking, oh, I can only study languages if I'm, I don't know, in some specific major, that's incorrect. You can study languages no matter what major or no matter what area you will plan to work in. It's always useful.
Yes, it is. And especially you know, those organisms like NASA or European Space Agency, for example. My brother has been working, I mean, now he's retired, but he has worked with the ESA, which is the International Space Station, European Space Station. And so his makeup has been like this, on dealing with the different languages and dealing with different cultures at a very high level, because of course, when you're launching from different stations and everything, I mean, it's a responsibility that's very heavy, but yet at the same time, if you do, it's a cooperation, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look at the crew of all the stations that are out there. The crew is different culturally and linguistically,
And everyone working for a common goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here at the end of your podcast recording, is there any thought that you want to leave the end of your episode with?
I am like a broken record when I say open. You know, I hope that my students really become world citizens, and I really hope that they are encouraged to take that leap in the world, no matter which geographical area. It's always something that will make them world citizens.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for taking some time this morning to chat with us, to share your story with our listeners. We hope that we have inspired the next generation of students coming through your classes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Futures in Languages. I'd like to give a shout out to the Video Guy for our intro and outro music downloaded from freesound.org. I'm Christina Torres, and our featured guest today was Maria Grazia Espina. Tune in next time to hear more stories from modern languages. For more information about Italian, German, French, and other language programs in the Modern Languages Department, please visit our website at caah.ucf.edu/languages.